Good morning, friends. Let's pray before we start this morning. Gracious God, we thank you that you have been with us since the very beginning. Since before we had breath in our lungs, God, you were present, desirous to hear, to know us. We thank you that you know us in ways we cannot know ourselves, but that you still desire and offer a welcome into your kingdom by your hand. We're so grateful, God, for the ways that you make yourself known. We ask that you would give us receptive hearts for your message today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. You can imagine the heart and mind of a child who, having been told by the adults in their family that they would go to the lake in the summertime, begins asking about it the very first day that school is out. As they come down for breakfast, "Are we going to the lake today?" During their midday toy cleanup, because the house has gotten too chaotic, "Are we going to the lake today?" When friends come over for dinner or a barbecue, "Are we going to the lake today?" Talking to their friends or a loved one on the phone, "Did you hear we're going to the lake?" There isn't a lot of concern about the how or the who or the why, just the when, because the child knows that they've been promised that they get to go. And so they ask and ask and ask and ask and ask again. Our text today is from Luke 18, the first section of that story. And it will talk about the dogged determination, like a child who's been promised something exciting, but with a widow and a judge instead. Comes to us in the form of a parable, which is a story that is sometimes clearer than other times and often has a message or two or three to tell us. Parables often hide deeper meanings, which sometimes confuse the disciples or us as modern readers. So let's read from Luke 18. "Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, 'In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my accuser." For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she will not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" We're talking today in our series about spiritual disciplines on prayer. We talked back in the fall, you may remember, about the Lord's Prayer and about different types and forms of prayers that we as people can pray. Today, rather than sort of rehashing some of that, we're going to talk about a prayer mindset, a prayer approach, rather than a technical system, as is taught to us through this parable of Jesus. It tells us that it wants us to learn about not giving up when we pray. That's what it says in the text. And in the story, we have these two primary characters, the widow and the judge. The judge, it tells us, doesn't have any personal ethical concerns. He doesn't worry about what God has to say in his life, and he doesn't have any respect or care for the people in his community. Not that the people in this story are really role models, they're background characters at best, but someone was oppressing the widow. There was an accuser in the crowd somewhere. This widow, who should have been cared for the most, was under threat. Jewish law has many rules about taking care of widows because in society they were very vulnerable to abuse. However, this widow needs justice from a specific accuser, or in another translation, because her legal rights are being violated. She is oppressed. Whether this is legal methods to defraud her of the resources that she did have, whether this is withholding the things that she needed on a regular basis, whether this is high rent and low wages, whether this is disrespect in her own community, this widow was in a position she should have never found herself in. And because of that, She is seeking justice. And this is a serious offense from the community, from this accuser. But the greater offense is the judge who fails to hear her complaints, who does not care about justice. This is important because a judge, more than anyone else, should ensure justice for those who are vulnerable. And so this is not just an unusual action by this judge, but an utter failure at the job he was supposed to do. We see the widow comes to the judge time and time again to ask, to plead, to beg, to pray for relief and for justice. She does not give up. She is diligent in asking. All the widow wants is what is offered to every person, justice. We don't know what it cost her to spend so much time pursuing this justice that should have been granted to her from the very start. We don't know what she was losing in her life. Certainly, to persistently harass a judge was an economic sacrifice. She was busy doing that. She couldn't do anything else, not to mention the things she was losing out on, but it was also probably a social shame. Certainly, there were people in her life who told her, give it up, that it wasn't worth the effort, that it wasn't going to change anyway, that the judge didn't care and wouldn't change his mind. But the widow does differently than the voices of those who give her advice. And in the end, the judge, though he has no moral standard of his own, determines it is better for him to give her justice than to withhold it. Now, though she was made disadvantaged by her community and her accuser, she made herself advantage by her persistent hope that the judge would eventually yield. The judge wasn't worried about justice or the widow or even the people who were accusing her. It was just a selfish motive. But no matter the motivation, the regular persistence of this widow pays off in the end. Jesus in the story then interprets the parable a little bit to give us some information as to sort of what's going on here. And he makes a comparison between the unjust judge with no moral standard, desiring only selfish things, and God. God, who is the most just judge. God, who cares about the ones that God created, who will grant justice. This is especially true, Jesus tells us, for those who cry out day and night. God will not delay long in helping them, but will quickly move to grant them justice. We know that sometimes we do not feel this move, and that sometimes God's idea of what is quick is not quick for us in our timeline. But the kind of faith that is persistent, that is continual, is also the type of faith that will be able to recognize the change when God does bring about justice. The last statement Jesus makes is hopeful, even as it sits aware of the reality. And yet, the text says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? If we hear this specifically in the story, maybe it's more like, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find such a persistent faith among the people of God? The kind of faith and hope and perseverance that it takes for this widow to seek justice is rare for us, even as believers. This is not because prayer is complicated or asks a lot of rituals of us, but because to ask for something over and over again to keep hope alive is a tiring task. Not everyone can pursue something so large as personal justice or moving mountains. But if we believe in Jesus and in his words, then we can also believe that our prayers are impactful. And we can work for hope in the world. God hears us and sees our repeated attempts. God also wants to give us good things, the text says, both here in Luke 18 and back a few chapters before in Luke 11. This is the section where Jesus is telling the disciples to ask and seek and knock. In that same section, Jesus talks about fathers and giving things to their children, and about how parents, no matter how flawed they are, want to give good things to their children. How much more, Jesus says, does your heavenly Father desire to give you good things? In the same way, in this scripture, Jesus tells us that unlike the unjust judge, God desires to bring justice. And he says that his feet will not delay. God does not drag God's feet around, trying to avoid giving justice to the people, but rushes to give justice to those that God loves. We should also make note of what this parable is not trying to tell us about prayer. We know in this community that not all prayers are answered in the time or way that you want them to be. The story isn't trying to tell us that by praying harder and wanting more desperately, that we could get God to listen more quickly or answer in the way that we want. Praying with persistence is not about skipping over a step in the divine line of prayer, or by making sure that you have the minimum required number of people praying about a given topic before it makes the agenda for God to answer. Instead, it is about the mindset of someone who prays with persistence and the faith and hope that is required in order to do so. By keeping our eyes open, by praying in hope, God, who desires to give us justice, will not delay. In order to pray regularly, consistently, persistently, constantly, we have to have hope. Hope that it can or will get better. Hope that anything will shift by the mighty hand of God. This is what the story of prayer in this parable teaches us, that hope in our God, through the support of our community, is what drives and empowers our prayers. Although we have focused on the spiritual discipline of prayer in this story, in some ways it is the spiritual discipline of hope as well. Because what is prayer if not a commitment to hope? Without it, the choice of praying consistently about the same thing would be impossible. One of the central tenets of the Christian faith is that we believe, sometimes against logic or reason, that things can get better. Because of our belief in Jesus, we can continue when other people have given up, because we believe that things can be different, that good can come after bad, that systems and organizations that have been standing for a long time can be resisted and rebuilt in a better way. We believe as Christians in redemption, the redemption of all things. And because of that, we have the chance to be bringers of hope and keepers of that tiny, small flame in our world. No matter how large or small, we believe that the continual work makes a difference at the end. This can be exhausting if you try to do it by ourselves, out of our own power, but thankfully, God gives us a community of believers and the work of the Holy Spirit to empower us. And it is by that community that we pray, and through that community we are able to keep praying, even when all hope is lost. So for the prevalence of violence that in our nation that keeps you awake at night, keep praying. For the illness that has harmed you or someone you love, keep praying. For the people in your life whose unrepentant sin causes you harm, keep praying. For your own stubborn heart, unyielding at times, keep praying. For one who is not yet recovered, keep praying. For the miracle you gave up asking for so many years ago, keep praying. For the systemic racism that affects every person, keep praying. For the fears you cannot let go of, keep praying. For the church community that you worry about, keep praying. For wars in other nations and in our own, keep praying. For the concerns of this community and your home, keep praying. This is the work of prayer in us. It is the demonstration that we believe in the hope of God, for the collective good that allows us to pray over and over. When you feel as if you cannot pray, when it sticks in your throat for the 5,000th time, turn to the community and see their work of faithfulness. Look to those in the scriptures whose stories of faith and commitment can inspire you. Look to those in your personal faith history who have showed you the way. Look to those around you, young and old, who may practice their faith differently, but whose dedication to the hope of Jesus sustains you as well as them. Prayer does not mean that we do not act or live out of hope, but prayer is the first necessary step of so many necessary steps that we take to keep hope alive in our communities and in our homes. Join in the chorus of believers who keep praying, trusting that God is working and will continue to work. By this, we offer hope in the name of Jesus to a hopeless world through our persistent prayer. You've been listening to me, Pastor Kana Moore, at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to those local, national, and international missions, and they help keep these broadcasts free. If you would like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our website at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have any questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our website and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.